Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to Wine Times, brought to you in association with the Sunday Times Wine Club, with me, comedian and wine novice, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Will Lyons, the Sunday Times wine columnist and vice president of the Sunday Times Wine Club.
Throughout this series, I have taken up the much coveted role as apprentice of wine to try and become the master of all things grape-related.
But you won't be on this journey alone, Susie. Oh no. Every episode, we'll be joined by a well-known guest for some good wine, good times, and lively conversation.
And don't forget, if you like the sound of any of the wines we have on the show, then fear not, because they're available through the Sunday Times Wine Club. If you haven't signed up yet, there'll be a link in the episode description for you.
So, whether you're a big fan of most wines,
or you're on the fence about what makes wine so grape, that's a really bad one this week, I am sorry for that.
In this show, you're sure to find something to suit your taste.
We're here in the fabulous church-turned-boozy destination Amazing Grace in London Bridge, ready to bless the wine and, of course, have a good time.
Discussing and decanting with Susie and myself today is the TV presenter and journalist Ben Shepherd.
You'll likely know him best for waking up the nation with the latest headlines on Good Morning Britain. As well as morning presenting, Ben dabbles in hosting game shows too, such as Tipping Point, which I've been on and loved. It's one of my favourite TV shows. I had a terrible time on it. And Ninja Warrior UK. Today, Will and I are in for a treat as we turn the tables on Ben and present him with some wines that are hopefully going to blow his socks off. Hello, Ben.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very good. Lovely to see you.
Yes, always nice to see you.
And lovely to meet you. Will, how are you?
No, but very well. But Ben, I feel like I've already said good morning to you because I did actually wake up with you this morning.
Oh, and were you dressed when we woke up together? I get stopped occasionally by people walking along the street and they go, oh, morning, Ben. We woke up together. I wasn't wearing anything when
really?
I saw you this morning. Yeah. Slightly unnerving at times. You're not really sure how to react, but you know.
I was in a t-shirt making a coffee.
Fine.
Nice.
Yeah, that was. But
with pants,
bottoms,
right?
Yeah.
I was about to say, you weren't like Winnie the Pooh.
But I wasn't wearing a suit. Yeah.
Have we started on the right tone? I feel
like. Yeah, this is. I mean, I quite like it. We're going in a different vibe this week. So, when it's 2:15 now when we record, what time were you up this morning?
I think the alarm went off about 3:30.
What time did you go to bed?
I actually went to bed really early last night because. The day before would be my son's birthday. I've been down in Bristol, which is where I filmed Tipping Point, which is where the last time I saw you with your spectacular experience on Tipping Point, which I'm sure we'll come to. So I've been down there and we filmed from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Got back in time for Sam's birthday Wednesday. We went to see Top Gun, which was amazing. Had dinner.
Great.
Had no sleep because then I was up Thursday. So last night, I literally collapsed at about 9 o'clock. So I was asleep by about 9 o'clock. And the alarm went off about 3:30.
And is that when you're like going through the news? Do you have to?
I get so what we get is the brief about which guests we've got coming in, why they're coming in, what we're going to be talking about.
Mm. And I suppose sometimes stuff breaks while you're on air.
Yeah. But stuff breaks while you're in air. Stuff breaks while you're asleep. So you get in the car, and it can be a completely different show to the one you went to bed in. Actually, breaking news to deal with is one of the most exciting parts of the job because live. It's when the team really come into their own as well because. Obviously, we're the people that you see up front, but the team behind make the magic happen, really, because they're the ones that have to sort of gather that information, turn it around, give it to us, inform us with what's going on. Very often, there'll be two of us.
Yeah.
So like there is for you. So, you know, you might be chatting to me doing the subject and Will being told what's happening next and where you're going next. It might be completely different to what you've got on the page.
Right,
So there has to be an innate understanding between the hosts.
Yeah.
That if one of you has the ball and needs to throw it, the other one's going to catch it.
Yeah.
And you just hope that they do.
And, yeah. and I suppose you learn to be really calm in those situations, because I was a wine merchant, then I worked on a newspaper at the Scotsman. And if there was a breaking news story at late at night, you know, 4 o'clock, you just ripped up 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I remember the first time it happened, the news editor saying, "Well, you've got to calm down."
I can so imagine that.
You're running around going, "Ah, God, it's good story."
But then I realized that, but by the end of it, you get so used to that adrenaline that you operate really well under pressure.
Yeah, you definitely get used to the adrenaline of a moment like that happen. Experience is an incredibly important part of the job. I think the first few times it happens, I think the first few times you do live television, it can be terrifying. You know, even just counting to time and being told, like, you've got to wrap this up, and you know, a hard count when someone's counting in your ear, and you've got to keep talking to someone like they're not counting in your ear. And often they'll get more and more irate in your ear if you're not talking. And you've got to try not to show that in your eyes.
Like, okay, that was really good. Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, you can see that happen. You can see the people that don't have the experience get faster and faster and louder and louder. And so experience is a hugely valuable asset in a breaking news scenario.
So you're really busy, like always on stuff, always shooting Tipping Point, and you're always making TV shows as well. Do you have much time to, like, I was about to say for R&R, for rest of, like, do you have much time where you get to relax?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit smoke and mirrors. I think it feels like, because Tipping Point's on a lot.
Yeah. But you do it in blocks,
don't
you?
We do it in big blocks, yeah. So we're just about to come to the end of, this is the 10th year of it, actually.
But
yeah, I know. So we're just about to come to the end of Series 13. We'll have some celebrity shows coming up. Some more celebs are going to come in and take on the machine.
So here's the thing. I'm a big fan of Tipping Point, and I tweeted about how much I liked it. Ben then got in touch with me and was like, "Oh, you should come on the celebrity show." I was so excited. I drove to Bristol. I ended up smashing my car on the way. That's a different story. But then I went on Tipping Point, and I was so excited that I just really screwed it up. Because yeah. I
was
like you.
You let the adrenaline get too much. Yes.
In 2004. Yes. I was so excitable. And like, my mum loves it. She watches it every day. So I was like, oh, mum's like, you know, this is going to be such a big deal for mum. And then it's like, Susie's been here. Goodbye, everyone. I was on and off before the first like ad break.
I was so devastated for you.
But it was such a laugh.
I didn't realise the trauma that had happened on the way.
No, I didn't tell anyone that I had a car accident on the way because you can't help but feel silly, because basically I just reversed into something and I didn't want to be like, "Hi, I'm a moron. We've never met. I crashed my car on the way here." But it was a lovely experience and it's a great show.
I think the thing is, though, I messaged you afterwards going, "It was amazing. Thanks so much for coming all the way down, because we filmed down in Bristol. And I'm so sorry it finished so quickly." And you went, "Ben, it was brilliant. And don't worry, it's all material."
Yes.
And next thing I know, I think someone sent me your stand-up routine about your experience on Tipping Point, which was just hilarious.
Yeah, it's on my Amazon Prime special, and it's so funny, the people that have messaged me have been like it's the opening of the show, talking about like the jobs that I did during lockdown, and the amount of people that have messaged me like, "I've only just got to Tipping Point and I'm laughing my head off," which is such a nice thing. But it's such a great show, and it's a playful quiz, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
the nice thing.
It's a game show quiz.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can be on your side. I want all the contestants to win. But I think we film it in blocks, so there's quite a lot of stuff to do, and then it's on a lot, and it gets repeated a lot because it does well, which is lovely. So it feels like I'm doing a lot all the time.
Yeah.
But there are times when I can have a bit of time off. One thing that's complicated slightly is I've got a production company, as you know.
Yeah.
And we make other TV shows as well now. So a lot of the downtime that I'm having, we are now producing other TV shows. So we make Lingo for ITV, mm-hmm. and we're just about to film American Lingo with RuPaul hosting it
all
the States.
And he's doing, that's going to be amazing.
I know, yeah. And Celeb one for here that Ru's hosting. So the summer is going to be a quiz show with Ru. How exciting is that?
I'm excited for you to get more fabulous. I feel like next time I'm going to see you, there'll be like a shawl, there'll be sparkles.
My alter ego might change slightly.
But having a glass of wine, just slowing everything down, would help you relax at the end of a very busy filming schedule or week.
Do you have a glass of wine after
the
show?
Yeah, but I was going to say, you obviously can't do it on a weekly, on a daily basis, because you've got to get up at 3 a.m.
Oh, you can. Oh, you really can.
Are we still pissed as well?
Yeah. So I've actually, interestingly, my relationship with wine has changed quite a lot, I think, in the last sort of year, probably. I love wine. I've always really, really, really enjoyed wine. My dad is an absolute wine buff, and I just always loved it. Worked in the drinks industry all his life.
Did he? I didn't know that.
So I was sort of lucky enough to work in a wine chateau on my year off as well in Bordeaux or near Bordeaux.
Oh, this is the best guest we've ever had. This is wonderful.
In fact, I've got a present for you.
Oh my word.
I'm ruining the shot.
The first guest to bring us a present. Thank you so much.
Oh my God, that's so kind of you.
It's Chateau Luden is the chateau. So, and I worked there for 3.5 months as a stagiaire in the summer, taking people on wine tours and guiding them.
That's so lovely. Thank
and a lot of English student type men have done this as well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I was very lucky because it was a chateau that was bought by the Gilby brothers in the 1800s, sort of something like that. And then obviously it's changed hands more recently. And my father worked for that company and I had an interview to work there my year off. So I think the thing that I love about it is it means so much to me because I did the harvest, we did the grapes, I watched it sort of mature. And so I was there in about 1993, 94,
just
before
university. Yes, that was when I was doing my... So great year, 2009. One of the best vintages of the last 60, 70 years.
Oh, I'm not messing around since.
Yeah, and it's had a lot of, you know, it's had a lot of bottle age. You could probably drink this weekend as well, because I would normally say for such a good year, you want to lay it down.
Yeah.
But the nines are very fruit forward.
I mean, it's this beautiful chateau. Have you ever been? You've not been?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, so Chateau Luden is a beautiful pink chateau on the Gironde, and it's in the shape of a U, and it's got these two towers, and it's 16 bedrooms. And it's, so obviously, it's rose in French, isn't it? So that sounds a little bit better than a pink chateau. But it's a pink chateau with these beautiful drive. And it was just absolutely magical. And when we lived on one of the sort of the workers' property, huts on the property as well, and just had the most extraordinary 3.5 months before going to university, you know, drinking amazing wine, exploring the world of wine, really beautiful, delicious wine, then went to university and literally would drink meth. I mean, like, it was, you know, I sat down and everyone went, oh, look, there's a University of Birmingham plonk. Do you want to try that? I don't drink anything that's not full-bodied. Very quickly got over that.
But Ben, have you been back to Bordeaux since?
Interestingly, I had my wife. I was with my wife for about 9 years before I realised I needed to ask her to marry me. And she did take me one Easter. She contacted them and said, could we stay there? In the hope that I would propose to her. And we had the most amazing weekend. And it was lovely being that there. And I didn't realise. It was only years later when she said, you do realise why we went there. And I went, oh, I thought you were being really romantic. It was really lovely. We had an amazing weekend. I just didn't want to ruin it by sort of, you know, asking a question.
By ruining it, by proposing. Well, nothing's like, ever ruined by that, Ben.
Well, as long as they say yes.
Well, yeah, but if she's planned a trip, I doubt she'd be like, I'm all right, fam.
I haven't been since then. I've always promised that we've always promised each other we'd go back and go and visit because it's such an amazing part of the world.
And it's transformed in the last, say, 10 years.
Is that right?
So the whole city's been pedestrianised, cleaned up, floodlit. All along the quay in the city is beautiful. It's like a mini Paris. It was the same architect that did Paris. There's a TGV now. You can get straight from Paris.
Down to Bordeaux.
So, yeah, it takes 2 and a bit hours. But I just think the whole region is booming because the price of Bordeaux, since you were there in 93, for the top wines, you probably bought them then for about £65 a bottle back here in London. They're now going for thousands. I mean, thousands. Prince Robert of Luxembourg, who owns Aubryon, has just had a huge sale in New York where he raised several million pounds for his bottles in aid of charity.
I had this amazing experience and brilliantly, my friends came out for my last few days and we had this deal with the chef du chateau, a guy called Charles Eve, amazing guy called Charles Eve, who was a master of wine and stuff. And he'd said, he'd incentivized us at the start of the season in terms of sales. And he said, for every 4 cases you sell, we'll give you a bottle. Anyway, we had the most brilliant summer of sales. It was me, a Dutch girl and a Danish guy. And in the end, he changed the rules because we were getting too much wine. Anyway, so I filled this car with wine and we drove from Bordeaux. And then we went to stay with Inika in Amsterdam, which is where she had gone back to. And all my mates stayed with her as well for a few days. And we drove all the way. It was back before satellite phones. My friend threw the map out the window on the way there. So we literally navigated by signs and instinct and asking. We went from there to Calais, got on the bus. As soon as we got back to Dover, we got pulled over because the car was so heavy. I mean, it was a Ford Escort that was filled with 3 of my best mates. They all bought bags, so much wine. And he was like, oh, yeah. They just assumed we'd just been, we were in the army and we'd just been to the cash and carry and just filled up with booze to come back for a party. But it was, and for many years, I slowly worked through that wine. That's all gone now. But the wine back then, you know, it didn't cost me very much to buy. But actually, a bottle of Luzerne now is really, really expensive.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. No, I love sharing that story with people. It's something I don't get to do enough.
That's a lovely story, actually.
Can we share some
Come
wine
on, let's go.
Now?
Yeah, it's time for a glass. So we're starting, like we normally do, with bubbles. But nice. We're at the end of the wine route, i.e. this is a very sort of, what's the word, sophisticated choice in a way. It's a sort of sommelier's favourite.
Okay.
We're in Germany. It's a Riesling. Your father would approve of, but it's sparkling. It's a sect. It's a German sect from a very famous estate called Reichstracht van Buhl. So we're in the beautiful town of Deidesheim. So we're about an hour and a half southeast of Frankfurt. Now, I always talk about the DNA of a wine. What's the sort of principal characteristics? And I suppose of this wine, and look at the golden colour.
It is very good.
And the mousse, that sort of white, that white froth has gone down, but the bubbles are small and they're going out rapidly, aren't they? This is all about fruit and acidity. So you've got, you know, 1,500 grape varieties, but the most noble, the most sophisticated, the sort of bark, the Rembrandt of white grapes is Riesling. And all wine connoisseurs and sommeliers regard it as the greatest white in the world. It produces the greatest white wines in Germany. But what's little known is that Germany also produces this sect, which is a sparkling Riesling. And I think it's wonderful, especially as we approach midsummer, just to sort of pick you up. Now, interestingly about Reichstracht von Buhl, they hired the ex-cellar master from Bollinger in Champagne. So I believe it's the same method as champagne production, secondary fermentation.
My dad used to work for Mensendorf.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah, so Bollinger was the, for that period of his career, when he, just before he retired for the first time, Mensendorf distribute Bollinger. Mm-hmm. Is Bollinger still owned by the same family? Is it still one family that owns it?
There's only three. So Bollinger, Paul Roger are still family owned.
Yeah. So Bollinger's always been sort of a not least because James Bond drinks Bollinger and my wife is a bit of a...
So you know the story behind that. Cubby Broccoli met Madame Lily Bollinger. And literally it was just a case of wine that I think Bollinger donated. And it went in 13. I mean, it just became synonymous with the Roger Moore era, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But no deal was signed until, I think, the last but one, when they actually formalised the deal.
Yes, I'm not sure. My dad was one of the finance directors. I think there might have been a bit of a deal before that. And it's expensive, you know, to place a product in a film like Bond.
Yeah, very.
And you have a set number of visual and sort of
that's
references.
Why it's mainly spirits now. Because in the books, if you read the Fleming books, it's Tatigé. It's Comte de Champagne.
Yeah.
He eats a lot of scrambled eggs. Scrambled eggs and smoked salmon and champagne. That's it. He's always rusting out scrambled eggs.
That's a good life.
Yeah. I mean, if you're just running around,
you got some murders carousing,
shooting, saving the world.
I think it's that whole thing. Apparently, Fleming had just had a child and was feeling pretty miserable in the sort of domestic situation. And it was just escapism, wasn't it? He just wanted to write a book about someone he wanted to be, probably.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing, but.
Oh, we all want to be Bond.
But yeah, we want to do that.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to be Bond.
Well, you can see me, Bond.
Thank you, Bond.
Right, so go on. Sorry,
so I say, compared to Bollinger, that's lighter, isn't it? Doesn't have that toasty brioche character. It has that green apple. And when you swallow it, that's sort of really mouth-coating acidity.
It is, isn't it?
Which just goes on and on. It has that length of acidity, flavour, which
sharp.
Is pleasing, actually. I think you don't always have to like this style. I mean... some people just love that rich roundedness you get with champagne, whereas this is much more spring-like and cleaner and fruitier. It's fruit and acid, really.
Yeah.
I think it's perfect for sort of in the garden aperitif style because it's got that racy. But you have to have a meal afterwards.
It feels like it's about to set you off on a really lovely occasion. So I love a sparkling drink. Mm-hmm. I like bubbles.
Yes.
I think I'm a bit of a so it doesn't matter. What it is, if it's got bubbles in, I'm in.
Right.
Like, I'm very, like a jacuzzi.
What about bubbles in a jacuzzi? What's your vibe on that?
Oh, my day. Literally, I just will fizz over.
You're listening to Wine Times, brought to you with the help of our friends at the Sunday Times Wine Club, your go-to experts for fantastic wine. And don't forget, if you like the sound of any of the wines we've been tasting in this episode, there'll be a link to them in the podcast description.
Ready Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So we're in Germany at the moment.
Yep. So we're going to, I'm just going to tip that away. You don't have to.
How, where are we going next?
I tip mine away as well.
So we're down, going. Down Ben's neck.
He tipped it away. I like to try and think counterintuitively and have a few quirky wines on. We've had wines from Moldova and Romania. This is a white wine from France, from a very famous region called Beaujolais.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And the family is... Famille Descon, that they were found in Beaujolais, but it's a Viognier. So the grape variety is Viognier. Its home is in Condre in the northern Rhone. And Viognier is a grape variety that, as a Sunday Times wine columnist, I get a lot of letters about this. People are always looking for Viognier, for good Viognier. The very best examples are quite expensive now. But put your nose in, it's almost like a spicier, richer version than Chardonnay. It has the same full-bodied texture Chardonnay, but it's very floral, isn't it? Mm. Very floral.
I used to, when I did the wine taste, and just had a flashback as I'm spinning this glass, trying to get some air into it, of taking one of the directors of the company came down, and he and his wife and his daughter came for a wine tasting, and they said, oh, Ben, will you take the director and his wife and daughter? And I was 18 at the time, and this daughter came in, and she was quite attractive, so I was really on it. I was really showing off. And I took the red wine out and I was talking about it and I was being all sort of dramatic and artistic. And I got really carried away. I went and I was saying, so smell the wine and now spin it. And what do you notice about the difference in the bouquet when you spin it? And this girl was sort of, she was enjoying the experience, as was the father and the mother. And then I said, so if you really give it some, you can really engage. And I literally span the wine out of the glass across my shirt and across the mother as well. And I was like, honestly, if the earth could have swallowed me up at that point, it was the most horrific moment. And the dad was on the end, and he thought it was hilarious that I covered his wife in red wine and me as well. But I was absolutely mortified.
That's like something out of Meet the Fockers, isn't it?
It's exactly like that. And I had to go and explain to the Chatelaine, was quite a sort of a battle axe woman, amazing woman. And I had to explain that I'd taken the tour, but I'd done something that might be worth mentioning. And she was so angry. What the bloody hell do you think you're doing? Just got carried away.
The theatrics are fun. Yeah, so the theatrics. We talk a lot about the theatrics of wine, don't we?
Yeah, and the whole ritual of wine, which some people want to ignore, which I think you can ignore, but I think it's also nice to embrace it.
Oh, it just adds a little bit of something that the sort of the extra sensory experience.
The theatre of having a wine list and having a proper sommelier come to you and put the wine and open it up carefully and maybe decant it with a candle that they do at Le Gavroche or something like that. And then they slowly in their they hand it to you to sniff. Because that's the etiquette. You don't taste it. You're just smelling to see whether it's faulty. So if you really want to impress your sommelier the next time, just say, would you mind if I have a sip? And they'll be like, oh, yes. Susie knows her stuff.
Yes, doesn't right. she? But there also is, and having worked in the chateau and seen the time and the effort and the expertise of the detail, the most minute detail of the harvest and everything that goes into it, just to get a wine into a bottle that we massively can take for granted because they make tons and tons of bottles. But every single, like there is the team that put this together have pored over the most minute detail to make this the best it can possibly be, that I think that it's easy to forget, isn't it? As you just crack open another bottle of wine.
I mean, they are. It's easy to forget that they're farmers and it's a thousand, I think it's a thousand decisions you have to get right. Really.
Yeah, it's agriculture, especially with
fine wine. And that, you know, come September, when you harvest, you are at the mercy of the weather.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I could do it. Everyone says, would you like to have a vineyard? And we could have vineyards. I mean, we have some amazing vineyards in England. Interestingly, Essex is a great place to...
Is it? Is it getting better?
Emerging as one of the great places to ripen grapes. And I think in 100 years' time, when we're all sitting here and the English wine industry will be quite old, Essex will probably emerge as one of the great regions.
I'll tell my dad he'll stick a few vines in the back garden. My mum will be pleased. My cousin, I've just suddenly dawned on me as well. My cousins actually have a vineyard. It sounds really ridiculous. It's just dawned on me.
Yeah.
My cousin lives in Australia. She's in Melbourne. She married an Australian and they have some vines because they bought a farm. And you're absolutely right. And they've been at the mercy, not just of the weather, but of locusts and things like that and birds and coming down. And they sort of grow the grapes all year and then all of a sudden it gets ravaged overnight by a plague of pests of some sort that come in.
So I think the
unbelievably heartbreaking.
The sort of handful of issues you can face in the growing season is, firstly, it's frost, but hail is the big one.
Yeah.
Hail comes through July, June, and it will just, in an afternoon, in minutes, will destroy your whole vineyard. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, I think in Bordeaux now, at the very top of states, you can sort of, you can have hail nets, but you can fire off fireworks into the clouds. I'm not sure they work. But at Petrus, I think he gets in his helicopter.
Do they still, because I know that they did this when I was there, they had, at the end of each vine, there'd be a rose.
Yes.
Because the rose gets attacked by pests first. So they see the roses going down, they'll know that the vines are going to go down too,
and they're just
all going to come under attack.
God, Will, your job's is hanging in the balance.
And now, so many vineyards.
Didn't realize this is an audition.
Okay. God. The trouble is, you're doing breakfast TV next week. It's a stress.
You don't want to see me at 3 o'clock in the morning. But what do we think of Viognier? Because I'm quite intrigued because as I said, I get a lot of letters about it. It's not too. Everyone said, but I do like that sort of. There's lots of tropical fruit there, isn't there?
Yeah,
mango, honeysuckle. The way a wine feels in your mouth. This is definitely base notes, isn't it? Almost waxy and.
Yeah, I was about to say.
And it's so different from the first one, or from a Sauvignon, which is all about racy acidity. This is much more mellow.
So it feels like it sits slightly, like it's just covering your tongue a little bit, just gently. Resting on it.
And, you know, we're quite near Barra Market, Barra Cheese, with Comté, the creaminess of Comté.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I keep saying to the producers we should have food, but...
Apparently it doesn't sound very nice.
It doesn't sound very nice.
I tell you what would be brilliant. If you were doing this, obviously it wouldn't be as controllable, in the middle of the market, live.
Yeah, yeah.
You just, you know...
And they get people
wave to the fromagerie, and they'd chuck a little bit over.
I mean,
oh, fantastic.
To the biltong boy in the corner. Get a bit of that.
I bought some outside of King Turkish Cross the other day. There's a little market up there.
Yeah, that's nice up there.
Yeah.
That's changed a lot. It's changed a lot. We used to live up there, Annie and I, when we first moved into London. We were in Islington, not far away, and King's Cross was not somewhere you'd have a cheese store.
No, if there was a white tent there, it would definitely be a murder rather than a fromagerie, wouldn't it? That's how the world's changed.
It was, a triage tent of some sort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, time is always the enemy, isn't it? Sadly, we're down to our last wine.
We are indeed. Where are we going now?
So we've gone from... Germany to France.
We've gone from Germany, we've gone west to Beaujolais, and now we're going southeast to Italy.
Wow.
We're going to fly into Rome.
Feels
and we're
like we've lost a sat-nav. The map's gone out the window.
Now, what we've got to think of, it's always an artificial environment. You know, we've had three wines, we don't have any food, we've got the cameras
we're on,
the lights
on, holiday.
You know, the microphone.
Can you mention the food again?
Still haven't got any food.
I think it's end of the working week, and we're tired.
Hungry.
Okay. And we want to put Top Gun on, and we've ordered pizza.
Great.
We made a bit of a salad from the kitchen.
Sure.
It's all super relaxed. This is the wine you want to have with it.
Okay.
You know, so we are on the Adriatic coast in Italy, or what the Romans called Inotria, the land of the vines. And the grape variety is Montepulciano. So it's not the Tuscan village. It's Montepulciano di Abruzzo.
And this is just a great value red wine from... Central Italy.
This is my dad's favourite thing ever. is finding really good value wine that tastes amazing. Like, because anybody can go and buy an expensive bottle of wine. The thing he enjoys the most, and he loves his wine, is find a wine that's cost me £10 and it's going to blow me away, or less.
And will he enjoy telling you that at dinner? Go, do you like that? That was only £9.
Absolutely. And the thing you always do at family dinners, and we have quite a big family, is you make sure you sit next to my dad, because the best wine is always on the floor next to his foot.
Yeah.
The wines on the table are going to be nice, right? They're going to be nice, but the best wines, and they could be, they don't necessarily have to be the most expensive, but the best wines are on the floor by his foot.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, if you're sitting next to him, you'll get some of his wine, and the rest of us, or the rest of them, they'll be able to make do.
I've got some sympathy with your father.
I feel like you'd go on with Ben's dad.
So at Christmas, if I'm doing big family gatherings, I say, right, here's, and they're all good wines, obviously, but I'm like, here are the wines you can just glug away. I don't mind as much. You can drink as much of that as you want. This wine, if you're going to taste it, we're going to taste it with me. And we're going to enjoy it slowly, please. And we might get carried away at the end. But I think that's what the Sunday Times Wine Club does well. It just finds those wines, the great value, but also that you just want to drink and just enjoy them.
I think my father-in-law, I think, is a member. And every year I get a case. My Christmas present is a case from the Sunday Times Wine Club that he's had that year. And he's gone, right, there you go. That's your Christmas present.
That's nice.
And it is. It's a really, really lovely thing.
But there's something about getting wine delivered. I just got delivered from the club, the Hugh Johnson selection, and you have a cardboard box and it opens it up and 12 bottles, you know, 12 apostles, but it's just a religious pleasure. A mini cellar arrives.
Yeah.
And I love that. I do like that.
But I think that's what makes wine more approachable. I mean, it's the very reason that I'm on this podcast with Will rather than someone that knows what they're talking about, because I think it's important that, you know, I'm just someone that enjoys wine.
You are great value.
I'm great value. Yeah. That's the thing. I'm £8 an episode.
As Ben says, it's easy to write about the world's great wines. It's nice to write about them occasionally, do a feature. But that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know, there's no legwork there. It's finding or making a judgment, actually. Mm. I mean, obviously, we have great supermarket buyers, great Sunday Times wine buyers. So, you know, I'm just on the edge of it. But I think, who was it? Robert Harris, when he gave up writing his Sunday Times wine column to focus on his books and Desert Island Discs, they said, did you ever miss it? He goes, no, because every Sunday morning I used to get stage fright. And I'm the same, because you put out those six wines and people now will let you know.
Oh, of course. And they've got access to you now as well.
And they've spent their hard-earned money, and if they don't like it, they know where to find you. And I always try and have a discussion. And for me, I'm just the person that says, look, that's pretty, Ben, have a try of this. I think you're going to like it. You know, I don't want to be the big authoritative sort of patriarchal, you must like this.
Do you, and this is an interesting question for you as well, Susie, as a comedian, do you remember the people that criticise your choices more than you remember the ones that really appreciate it? Is it the same with your gigs and your comedy?
Yeah, totally. I remember having a year in Edinburgh. I just got 4 and 5 stars across the board.
Amazing.
Just lovely. You know, I was walking past my poster every day. More stars were going up. Lovely. What a treat.
Did you linger?
you know, the show sold out. It was great. One reviewer was like, I don't get what it is with her. I think she's fine, but I don't get why. Like, she's fine. And honestly, I saw him in a bar, and then it was like he was haunting me all festival. Yeah. Everywhere I went, I was like, there's that guy again. Yeah. He thinks I'm 3 stars. There is some. My mum says I'm special. You know, but you can't help it, can
Isn't
you?
It
it's
funny?
The human condition of sort of going. And I think it plays into that horrid voice that's in all of our heads sometime, unless you're a psychopath, where you go, maybe they're right.
Yeah.
Maybe I am awful. Maybe I am. Nothing
special. I actually thought about doing a fringe show on newspaper comments under the wine. At the journal, I used to have, the best one was when I wrote that we shouldn't be chilling our whites. We all chill our whites too much. Telling an American audience, oh my, it all hell broke loose. But the best one was, I cannot respect Will Lyons.
Yeah.
Is what it was. Because you told them you're making your white too cold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't that fascinating? And you still remember that, though. To be fair, though, you can take that and laugh about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was funny. Sure. It is funny.
I once had someone tweet me, what is the point of Susie Ruffle? Which, oh, I mean, that's like an existential crisis, isn't it? I mean, that's nothing to do with my comedy. That's like my soul. But the point is, I really like that.
To end with as rich, fruity,
the colour of that label. That's so unusual. A label that colour. Sort of a what colour is it? Crimson. I don't know why I'm thinking that.
It's like a dining room, isn't it? Like a smart dining room.
Farron Ball.
Yeah.
Mrs. Shepherd would be all over that. We could have that around the
at a country house hotel somewhere.
I have to say, I'm not sure when the podcast's coming out. You know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to get every one of these wines and make sure my dad has them so he can listen and drink. Mm. He will be all over that. I don't know if you're doing that. When lockdown happened, mm-hmm. and we all went into lockdown and everyone was stuck at home and everyone was doing Zoom quizzes, my dad organised a wine tasting for all the family. We've got family in Cornwall and up near Leeds in Harrogate. My sister's not far from me. My brother's in Dubai. Sent everybody samples. Oh. And then we did a wine tasting over Zoom. That he had organised. I mean, we were all hopeless. Famously, we did one Christmas. My sister was pregnant. She didn't drink any of them and she got the best score just by looking at the colours and smelling them. So we're all absolutely hopeless at sort of trying to identify them. It does things like you, sort of an Indian wine or a Moldovan wine. He loves all that sort of stuff. But that's how much he loves this process. So he will be thrilled that got to do this today and he will want to...
We need to make sure that Ben's dad gets some wine.
About putting this podcast on British Airways and I thought you could then serve the wines.
Mm.
Yeah. And so people would fly to...
So that's my dad's thing, right? If he flies anywhere, he's not interested in... He'll go, oh, there's some really nice wines on the plane. I'm really interested to couple the wine with... Yeah. Dad, it's airplane food. It's not going to be...
But
how do you know? It could be. And then it's served at altitude and under pressure. What's that going to do to the taste of the wine?
I caught them on British Airways the other day throwing it down the loo. And I said, look, come on. And they said, we have to. I would have thought they would have wanted to take them home.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought.
Give them to the captain.
Maybe they're not allowed anymore.
But maybe it's law.
Yeah.
It's all these regulations there. I once went to Cuba in 2003, too. Mm-hmm. And we went to Madrid. Then we got an Air Iberia flight.
Mm.
And we were in economy, obviously. And it was a drinks party. It was literally the two stewardesses stood behind the hatch giving out drinks. Everyone got up and started chatting. People didn't drink a lot, though. And I thought, this is going to be really interesting. Lo and behold... 45 minutes later, everyone was asleep.
I did.
That was the plan.
But I'd never been on a plane where everyone just got up and were talking to each other and just mingling around. And
it's a lovely vibe,
It was. It was really good. It was actually quite a nice idea.
Party at altitude, great.
And then you fell asleep and then you woke up over Florida thinking, oh.
Yeah, I don't feel great.
It's actually a long flight to Cuba.
So, Will, what's your favourite of today? Let's start there.
I'm not going to try and be clever. I think my favorite was the sparkling.
Your favorite is sparkling?
The Reichsrat von Buell. Nice people, lovely wine, and just the sort of spring-like aperitif wine I liked.
Yeah.
But I did like the Viognier. I thought that would be great. Again, great picnic, and I did like this. If I was having a pizza.
Ben, please.
I'm just sticking my nose back in the Viognier. And actually, it's lovely. I think I'm the red.
Yeah.
I think it's the Italian, the La Chiamata. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's just delicious.
Yeah.
Really delicious.
Very popular.
Lovely flavours. And the other two were great too. But this is the one that I'd sit down with, like you say, the idea of a pizza. And I watched Top Gun Maverick the other day. A couple of my friends are fast jet pilots as well. I've been up in a... This is really
fantastic.
Boring. Been up in a tornado. My best mate, Sam, is a fast jet pilot. And he took me up the day before his wedding in a tornado.
Wow.
And we went supersonic at 200 feet across the water. And then we flew. I mean, so I don't know if you've seen the new Top Gun movie, Maverick, but it's unbelievable. And I just spent the whole time thinking about my mate who flew me in his plane. And so the idea of a bit of Top Gun pizza in this. And
so it is good, the new Top Gun.
Oh, it's amazing. I was very similar to this
Top Gun.
That's
the wine that we've had over the course of this episode, just in case anyone can hear those bottles in the background.
My experience was very similar, just with more sick bags.
Oh, really?
There was a lot. Oh, you don't pull 5G without needing to throw up.
What a lovely note to end on.
Yeah.
Ben Shepherd being sick.
Do you know what the funniest thing about it was? You'll love this. Funniest thing about it was, I thought it was really discreet. Like, so Sam, so he's my best, you know, it's incredible. Your best mate's a fast jet pilot, frontline ready.
Cool.
Yeah, so cool. And we've organized this flight because there's a bit of press about it, which is great. We've gone up and we've flown around and he's gone. And you can control the air flow in the back and I can get more oxygen to my flow because you've got your mask on and all that sort of stuff. And he could tell the air pressure changed. He said, you're right, mate. I said, you just feel a little bit queasy. We've been doing all this aerobatic stuff. It's incredible. And he went, you know where the sick bag is? Yeah, I've got the sick bag. Don't worry. I'm right in the sick bag. So I've got the sick bag. And I sort of threw up the cheese sandwich I'd had because he'd made me have a cheese sandwich because he knew that he wanted to make me throw up because he's my mate. And I put it, yeah, all good. Yeah, great. And then I realized that I hadn't quite got the bag. Like I'd missed a little bit.
So
I sort of did all this. And then we've got these amazing pictures, these amazing, amazing black and white pictures of the two of us getting out of the plane And they took these pictures of us, proper top gun, black and white, walking along in all the jumpsuits and all that sort of stuff. Two of us laughing, because all I'm saying is, you don't think they can see the sick down the top? It was the antithesis of the cool. It was me, just with vomit down my top. Failed miserably.
Well, I'm pleased to say that's not how we're ending the podcast.
We've got a bit more wine to drink yet.
So we do. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh,
that was fantastic.
My absolute pleasure.
That's it from us today. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Wine Times in association with the Sunday Times Wine Club, produced by Ben Mitchell.
You can follow the podcast so you never miss an episode. Just do this via your normal podcast provider.
And we'll be back next week with more delicious wine and a fabulous guest.
And remember that all of the wines we tasted today are available from the Sunday Times Wine Club website.
But from all of us here at Amazing Grace, thank you very much for listening, and we hope to see you next week for more Wine Times.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.